Hey, Quang here. If you really wanted to support Cracked Media, you can go to cracked-media.com/shop and buy our merch. The website will be updated with limited time merch that supports all the effort that everyone on the Cracked Media crew has and will continue to dedicate to the community. Go visit cracked-media.com/shop. And remember, stay cracked.
Yeah, what up, dudes and dudettes? Episode 66 coming at you live. I think we're live. Wait, are we live? Hold on.
We are live. I can confirm we are on the screen. I would like everyone to know that Justin fully has the power to put us closer together. And totally could have done that.
But that would be a pain in the ass, dude.
Decided to create this so much space. This is just...
The space was already there. I just filled it with logos because the space was not filled by other individuals. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it was Valentine's Day weekend. So I think we give them a pass. Just because I'm lonely and can't be here. Forcing Justin out of bed.
I guess that makes sense now. I guess that makes
sense. Did you not put two together?
I mean, I was always like thinking, like, why would CJ pick this weekend of all weekends to go out there? And it literally just now hit me. Oh, I hate it, dude.
Yeah. Crazy he didn't pick me to be his Valentine. I quote, never in 100 years.
He's in Boston instead. Wrestling? No. CJ's visiting his girlfriend in Boston. He traveled all the way from the UK for this woman. Sanity.
I'd go all the way to the UK for a woman. I'd go all the UK all the way to the UK for a dog. I'd go for less.
Is your girlfriend an American? Yes. She is indeed American. Indeed. Anyways, welcome. XP share 66. What's going on, guys? It feels like we haven't been here in forever. I don't know why. I don't know how. Even though I like literally have been streaming every day and it shouldn't feel weird. But hey guys,
that must be it.
What's up? We're back.
I will say the days these feel further separated when I do stream regular, because the big difference is that I'm not on camera as much as I have been in the past whatever, you know? So at this point, when it's like, oh shit, it's been 2 weeks. I gotta take a shower. I gotta look good. I gotta look presentable for this beautiful broadcast.
Oh my god.
But normally I'm like unshaven, fucking stained shirt. Just got out of bed. I know it's 3 o'clock, but...
The reincarnation of John Bauer, that's wild. That's insane.
Anyways, it's just me and Justin today. J
squared again for the second time, I believe, this year, actually.
Yo, that's crazy. That's actually...
The year just started and we've already had two double podcasts. It's called J squared at this point. Fucking... no, we got some good stuff. And good stuff, like actual, like juicy kind of news for those of you who, are into the said games that we're about to talk about. It's,
did you get rug pulled?
I mean, technically I just thought about it. That's a third layoff. That's three of them. Because
I don't know if I'd call that a layoff.
Okay, so all right. All right. Well, we'll get into it. It led into a layoff. So
sure,
starting off with our first, we're going to quote unquote this one, I guess, our first layoff of the last month. For those of you who have spent money, unfortunately, put money into the Kickstarter, possibly bought this on Steam as well. I mean, if you haven't heard already, the chances are you've already have. But for those who haven't, Ashes of Creation Studios, Intrepid Studios, who made Ashes of Creation, is essentially no more. So the story goes, a couple weeks ago now, the co-founder, Stephen Sharif, who has been pretty much between him and a couple other leading staff, they've literally been the face of the development cycle of Ashes of Creation. And for those of you that don't know, this has been Kickstartered for the last, 5-7 years now? I think maybe even 10, but I'm not sure about that. So it started off as a Kickstarter. It's been going strong. They finally hit alpha when it released on Steam, I believe in November, December-ish. And so people finally got to play this game on Steam, get it directly from Steam in alpha version, early access, not finished, of course. And then a couple weeks ago, Stephen Sharif announced his exit, saying that he does not basically agree with the new board of directors' opinions, directions, what have you. And that led with a bunch of the other senior staff leaving as well. And then shortly following that, here's where the layoff comes in, is the rest of the employees that were still there were basically told that they had 60 days until they don't have a job anymore. So no more Ashes of Creation. Some are saying rug pull, some are saying just bad financial, assessments. You know what I meant. It's a weird one. I know a lot of people were really excited about this game. I sound like a broken record at this point. It had great potential. It could have been a good game. Could have done this.
Can you get refunded for the early access stuff?
So the good thing is, Steam did allow people to get refunds for this game. Okay. Steam actually formally announced, I don't think they can force refund everybody, but everybody who submitted a refund was refunded through Steam for this purchase.
Okay.
Now, the Kickstarters. Kickstarters who paid multiple, probably thousands, tens of thousands, maybe tens of thousands of dollars, depending on how much you bought. Like, these were like FOMO skins, stuff you can only get during that phase of development. So, Kickstarters got screwed. But yeah, as far as Steam, they actually made an announcement saying that, we're refunding everybody for this. Like, there's no question about it.
Is that Steam refunding? It's not the studio, right? It is just Steam saying, hey, we're stepping in.
Yeah.
Get your money back.
Yeah. I'm 90% sure it's all Steam just saying, hey, if you bought this game through Steam and you submit a refund, you will get refunded. Yeah, I highly doubt the studio had anything to do with that.
Yeah. Feels bad.
The sad part is, they're probably not never going to get hit for it either.
Yeah.
Those people aren't going to get their money back. Those people aren't going to come together and try to sue the shit out of them. Like, I mean, unless there's like that one gamer lawyer who's just like, you know what, let's do this. Let's get a petition going and let's make this happen and let's sue the fuck out of them. But it's like, I've seen it. It's starting to become a thing. I mean, where lawyers are more in tune with the gaming market and like, you know, starting to get a little sue happy, for lack of a better term. But other than that, again, if you got into the Kickstarter, you're screwed. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately that used to be very common. I know that Kickstarter at this point has changed their whole system to be a little bit more consumer friendly or consumer favored.
How so?
Things like refunds have to happen. You have to meet certain deliverables, things like that. Now it's like not guaranteed. Nothing's ever guaranteed, and it feels bad for all the people who did buy it on Kickstarter and really felt like they were developing this great game. But also,
I mean, that's the sad thing. It was a hater. I mean, it was. Okay, so my only thing is, and don't chastise me if I'm wrong in this, because, again, I haven't played the game. I've only seen, clips here and there, but I'm pretty sure it was another tab targeting MMO. And I'm not, like, it didn't have the best graphics. Like, it was... I wouldn't even say it was comparable to WoW graphics, but the concept was there. What really made me interested about Ashes of Creation was the concept of PvP, owning a city, traveling resources through the city, protecting the transports, stuff like that. The PvP aspect pulled me in. Kind of like New World, where you owned a city, but it didn't really mean as much as this, because where you could be like, you could appoint somebody as governor of a city pretty much, and they basically upgrade the city. They bit taxes, houses, markets, whatever. You're like, you had full control. It was like, if anybody's played Black Desert, it sounded like Black Desert, kind of like Node Wars in terms of like how you get the territory. So the concept was there. It sounded really fucking good, but it's just like, I think it was just mismanaged financials at the end of the day, and they were trying to recoup money. And then Steven was just like, yeah, we need to go. As weird as that sounds, like, I mean, you're a co-owner, like you should be able to foresee this. Like, if you've been in business before, you should be able to like know this stuff is coming. So I don't want to give them a break, but I also like give them the benefit of the doubt that it's not entirely his fault, but he should still get all of the blame for it at the end of the day, especially with how far they were pushing things.
I feel like, okay, so I'm kind of, I feel like I'm on the opposite foot, where I feel like the hard part is that I completely believe he had to know, because I think it last year or the year before, like, I don't want to be like, oh, this was a mistake. I feel like this has been the writing on the wall for a few years now.
Well, they've constantly missed deadlines like that. I think Alpha was actually supposed to release in like, I want to say like between like July and September, and it didn't even hit until November, December. So like,
I mean,
They were missing deadlines consistently.
I mean, if we even think back to, like, the start of the campaigns and everything, the number one thing that I remember is literally people being disappointed that they had to... This might be a different game, and I might be remembering it correctly, so... But I remember it being something like, oh, we were so excited to see the gameplay demo because so much was being promised, right? This is like all the people who didn't want to get into EVE, didn't want to get into... I think WoW just announced that they were taking a big step back on the on PvP and really focusing on PvE. WoW took a big... This is pre... What is it? Old school or whatever. Old school WoW or whatever they did. But yeah. And then that was the first time I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. And then it felt like every year it was just like another thing.
Well, you know? I mean, parallel to that is like Star Citizens as well. It's like how much are the developers going to ask for funding and not release the game kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
How much are you going to promise an unfinished game, and how many people have to buy into it until that game's complete? And I honestly think it's like an ass backwards kind of thing. It's like, cuz you know, what one person, one consumer is going to buy a game, right? If you use that time in early development to have that consumer buy that game, like, that's obviously you're not getting that money again, right? So you're just regurgitating that to your staff at the end of the day. But then it's like, I don't know. It's a plus and a minus. It's shitty for the community, but it's like, hey, let us, instead of us putting this game out and then hoping we break even, let's like elongate it and try to break even during release instead of after. So it's like, I don't know.
It feels incredibly flawed. I know you're trying to do like devil's advocate of. I know that this is not what you personally think.
Oh no,
I want that to be very clear to everybody that this is not Justin's real opinion, even though he is scraping.
I'm trying to be nice about it.
Yeah, there is dirt on the floor, and he is trying to dig for any amount of gold. All he's finding is cardboard.
I mean, it's like, so, because I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. It's especially like when we're, let's say Crack Media makes a game, right? I'm not gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna take my paycheck and I'm gonna go beg people for money, and we're gonna create this whole like AAA game.
out of nowhere,
and you know, hope for the best. It's like, I mean, you need to take, even as a development team, like, even if you have big ideas, like, you still need to take those baby steps. And it's like, I've been thinking about that too, and it's like, all right, you know, we'll start out with like a mobile game and then go from there, and then, you know, build your way up to the game you want. Like, don't just be like, I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket and hope that this game works out, and then ask people for money for an unfinished game when I don't even know if it's going to be finished. Right.
Yeah. And part of it too is that, it part of it is, and like I know that this is part of the reason that the reception is like really bad, but it's really hard to look into the what's happened with the studio and not be like, oh shit, I got scammed. Even if that isn't necessarily true, right? Because
well, that's the thing is like the consumer is never really going to know the issue unless, you know, somebody from the inside comes out with absolutely everything. So from the consumer side, you're always going to be like, I'm getting scammed. And
yeah,
whether that's a fact or not, it's like, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, being devil's advocate again, you bought into an early access game, putting faith in said company that doesn't have a track record whether or not they're going to finish that game in the first place or not.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so it's... I understand what you're saying, and ultimately it still feels very scammy.
Yeah. I mean, just go back to demos. Especially because there was...
It feels worse that he kept saying basically that the game's going great.
Don't
and that it's working out real well. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's kind of where the scummy part comes in. It's like if you're gonna do something like this, you need to be transparent with your community, or they're going to just. You're never gonna make a game again. Like nobody's gonna buy a game from a company under Steven, probably ever.
Yeah, you know? I will say Moot mentioned No Man's Sky. I don't know too much about the development cycle of Cyberpunk, but No Man's Sky, I don't think they scam people. I think that what they thought was cool and what other people thought was cool were two different things. And they personally really fucked up. The reason why is because as a kid, one of the games that I spent way too much time on is... do you remember Sporkle? I think that's what it was called. Sporkle?
I remember Spore. Not Sporkle.
Was it Spore? Yeah, where you like made a little alien dude and then you like raised it and
actually like colonized and it advanced through the technologies and shit like that.
I think originally No Man's Sky was just supposed to be Spore on steroids.
That was a good game. I played the shit out of that.
That being said, I think they could do more than I think that they thought they had made it and everything was good and then it wasn't, so they needed to put years into the product.
Well, which I don't one remember
is there
why is their fault hated No Man's Sky.
It was there was nothing, like you basically had the same four worlds over and over again.
Generation. Okay now I remember that.
Yeah. Which I think is reasonable to like underdeliver on that.
Especially when you're like saying, oh yeah, these worlds are all procedurally generated. You can go to millions of them and they'll all be different. Psych.
And then fucking up on that. Which once again, I think it's fine. I think they fucked up on that. I don't think they were trying to scam people. This really feels like, oh shit, we're in the shitter. This game's never gonna get released. Let's say that it's going well and have people buy a shit ton of copies and then dip as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's
but,
the unfortunate
I mean...
truth about it. It's like, at the end of the day, like when you're developing games, especially if you have a like angel investor, you need to make the money back. And it's unfortunate that some of these companies just don't fucking prepare, so they have to take the scummy way out and then never fucking step foot in the industry ever again.
Well, I hope everyone in our community who was invested in AOC got their money back. I hope that in the future you get more fun games. But in this case, I think the community kind of has to take an L. If you also want some reprieve, I did spend some time on the subreddit, the Ashes of Creation subreddit, and it is hilarious.
Oh my god.
It's a lot of clips.
a lot of the fucking content clips? Jesus.
Yeah, of like the dev dev the spotlights devs. And all that. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'll have to go see that. Well, while we're on the topic of layoffs, we got two more for you guys.
I was going to say, the more lighthearted one, I feel like, is the 2XKO one.
Oh, you think that's more lighthearted?
I genuinely think it's more lighthearted. I've sat thinking about this for so long, especially because it's been my like main game for the last like 2 months. So I've been sitting here at home just like really thinking about what the layoffs mean, right? And I, you know, looking into it, they did lay off about half of their team, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for those members, and Riot kind of did it in a scummy way. But the team was 160 people, reduced to about 80. And they were advertising to, they were trying to get a bunch of random people to join a League of Legends fighting game. And I think that was a mistake from the beginning. Because people don't want to learn fighting games. People want to play a fighting game. If it has like a story, or if there's like some other like solo challenges that they can do. Most people do not want to go online and play against people. Which is fine. The game is sick. We also got, literally the day after, got sneak peeks into the next two characters, which look great. So, all in all, I think what's going to happen is the game's going to be a little bit more focused to the FGC. They don't need as big of a team for that. They just need a big enough team to actually make characters and release them and have a minor like patching team. Monetization in that game is, Riot does this thing, and I never understand why, and it has been a problem in the past, where their monetization model is too generous. And I'm saying that even though I understand that it is to my benefit that it's like that, but quite literally, you spend 3 hours in that game. I'm pretty sure you can unlock three characters for free. And that means that you are guaranteed to unlock the people you actually want to play.
I mean, FGC wise, that's not a bad idea.
And
look at how they did it with Smash, right?
Dude. I remember the people complaining nowadays, I feel like they just like don't remember the dark ages where we first moved to like an unlock model, and you had to fucking unlock characters to practice against them in training mode. Like that's where we're coming from. Now it's like, okay, I just want to play these two characters online give me 10 minutes, give me a couple hours of playing casual so I can learn the system, or just doing like tutorial stuff. They give you a couple for free and I can move on. It's great. But they did this for Legends of Runeterra too. Legend of Runeterra, you never had to buy cards. You could just play the game, and which is why it went into the shitter. And, you know, the big thing is Riot saying is like, hey, we're not hitting the monetization goals, blah, 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 blah. So we have to cut to like support the team, which makes sense because they're really fucking bad at making money. It feels like.
Well, it's also just like I think it's kind of a weird aspect. I mean, cause like, okay, so there's I think the small niche of people like yourself, yeah, who have played League and also like fighting games and, yeah, like the correlation, you know, of the lore going to 2XKO, right? And then, yep, you got your actual MOBA players who've never touched a fighting game, aren't interested in fighting games, and, you know, 2XKO is just straight over their head, who may or may not try it out, just, again, because of lore things, but may or may not enjoy it because, again, it's a fighting game and they're used to playing those characters in a MOBA. So I think what Riot's expectation of like, hey, let's get all these MOBA players onto a fighting game was ridiculous. The dumbest idea in the world. Like, you know what's crazy?
The thing that I think is crazy is that I'm pretty sure that 2XKO, despite having a shitty name, despite them only really marketing to other fighting game players, because I think the only public marketing they'd actually done was at the Game Awards and at fighting game tournaments.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, sure, you need to get like the core audience that will guarantee play your game. But they didn't even put like 2XKO in the home screen of League. Like, that's, they do that, yeah, for everything else. It's crazy. Ultimately, they didn't do any of that.
Well, it's like
they released the game and it's still somehow, with the shitty name and everything, probably the most popular fighting game outside of Japan. So many people I know are playing. So many top players in other games are playing it and saying that it's their favorite game. You have a bunch of people saying that they wouldn't play and they're not playing anything else. Look at like Sonic Fox, right? Sonic Fox is basically all 2XKO, Leffen.
I think that's the thing, is like people were getting, I think you said it a few episodes ago too, is like fighting game players were like, have been itching for a good tag fighter again. Yeah. So it kind of scratched that itch. It hit the League of Legends market and brought those fighting game players over. And then again, it was a tag fighter, which a lot of people wanted. So,
yep,
of course it's gonna blow up. I mean, of course you're still gonna have your core, yeah, Street Fighter, you know, Smash players and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, they did pretty good. They did pretty good.
I will say that the greater community is still pretty hopeful, mainly because of two things. One, the next two characters got leaked. So they actually had to release gameplay footage. And I do believe that it is a disgruntled employee who leaked the characters because they were notified. I think people were saying they were notified 2 hours prior to getting kicked, that they're losing their jobs.
That's insane.
Though I also have heard that Riot at least gives like a 6-month severance package.
That's good. I mean, it's also like, so like, as we're kind of like transitioning into Hydeguard as well. I don't know. It's a weird situation when it comes to live service games, especially too, because it's like a lot of it's not really. It shouldn't be shocking. Like, it shouldn't.
Yep.
Mass layoffs after a game is released shouldn't have as much of a shock factor as it does. And yet, we have multiple news outlets, multiple content creators farming these kind of reactions, making it a bigger thing than it is. But it's like, you come out with a game and it's like, a lot of smaller companies, it's like, if they're not trying to make a new game or they're not trying to be a live service, like that company is going under. Like they're going to disband that company. They put out their product. They got their stuff done. Like saying like way back in the day, you know, they got their game out. They got their stuff done. Company's done. It's over with. So now with live service, it's like, you make the game, you put it out, and then you keep the people you need to keep it live service. You don't need a big team of developers anymore to keep a live service game. So it's like, why does everybody expect you need these 100 to 200 people dev teams from the creation of the game to keep the game alive? And it's like, you don't need that many. The layoffs aren't. These kind of layoffs aren't super surprising, and they shouldn't be, and they shouldn't really have this negative connotation. But it also brings me to my other point is like, a lot of developers and, you know, artists and people like that should unfortunately be prepared for these kind of situations, because unless you're part of the team and you know, like, it's going to be a live service and you're going to be on part of the team going forward, like, as shitty as it is to say, like, you should kind of expect after your project is done, the project is done. You know,
this is kind of why I was saying that the 2XKO development was a little bit lighter, because the big community, the reaction from the community, at least for 2XKO, wasn't necessarily like, oh, this is surprising, because, you know, everyone's aware of how shitty the Shadow launch it was and all that. It was more focused on, we're worried that we're not going to get good content in the future. We are worried that reducing your team size. Oh, once again, of course, it sucks for the people who got laid off. That's not what we're saying here. But the general sentiment really felt like, oh, shit, this game has been going so strong and is so good. It reducing the team size 2 weeks after launch does not inspire confidence.
Yeah.
In any sense of that word.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, a lot of teams, I mean, if you actually plan to be a live service game and you know what you're doing business wise, you're gonna have at least like a 1 to 3 year plan going forward.
Sure.
It's not like they're, oh, hey, we're done with the development team, we're gonna cut them in half and we're gonna live service going forward. No, half these, like, if they know what they're doing, they're gonna have, okay, we're gonna obviously cut the development team, but we have, you know, update 1, update 2, update 3, you know, going forward for X amount of time, we already have that set. So with this smaller development team, we're just pushing the updates after those. So it's like, it's like you unfortunately have to trust the development team that they know, like, okay, we have 3-4 updates planned in the future. So now we have this smaller team that's going to do, you know, 5 through X, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just think like, you know, just, and I mean, no blame at all. Like I'm in the same boat. Like, just think like, oh, you're cutting your development team. So like, you don't have a plan for update 1, 3, you know, 5, whatever. Then they get in that fear mode of like, is this game actually going to be a live service? Is it going to be developed? Is it going to progress? Or did I just get fucked?
Yeah. Especially if it's a game that you enjoy. That's really where it feels bad for a lot of people. You have no idea if the game that you actually enjoy is going to be still in it, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, sure, like, teams can put out, like, roadmaps and shit like that, but it's still that inkling in the back of everybody's mind. It's like, you have stuff on paper, but are you going to actually produce it?
Well, we will see how the development of both Highguard and 2XKO in the future.
So
you've been playing a lot of Highguard recently, right? I've seen you streaming it a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a solid game. It definitely shouldn't have got as much hate as it did. Sure, it's not for everybody. And I did leave a little kind of overview of it. Honestly, I fucking hate typing. I'm not even gonna lie. So it's like, when I get halfway down after like 5 paragraphs, I'm just like, bro, am I gonna like really write 10 to 15 more paragraphs, or can I just like cut it here and then call it a day? But sure, it might be like a just, you know, it might be a hodgepodge of different genres at the end of the day. Like, it, you can't really say Highguard has its own identity, because even Highguard doesn't know what the fuck it wants to be. Like,
yeah,
you got futuristic guns in a medieval setting with fucking horses and loot boxes. Like, Highguard doesn't even know what Highguard wants, right? But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's a solid shooter. Sure, that time to kill is a little off, which can be tweaked. There's some aspects that are kind of just like, oh, hey, you instantly win with that. But in the terms of like layoffs and stuff like that, within 3 weeks of Highguard being released was when they started doing their layoffs, and they already had 1 to 2 patches that were already out. And I believe the second patch was around the time that the layoffs were announced. So it's like, they're at least trying. It's not a Concord situation, which is good for the community. But it's like, they are trying to pull it back, for better or worse. And then, but that does again leave the question in the back of everybody's mind is how long is it going to continue, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can only wait and see, because I'm sure there's also a lot of backroom. Because it can be anything from, hey, we need to hunker down and just figure it out for a little bit. And as soon as we can do something and be profitable and all that, we will hire back people and the game will be great. And we know what we're doing. We're confident this is the right forward to another dude in a suit who's never touched a controller in his life being like, you guys are spending too much money.
I mean, it's
I'm paying for your studio, and I think that you should fire everybody.
Yeah,
just like the everything in between.
I mean, it's a. I'm not gonna go down that road. That's another devil's advocate road. I don't think any of us are prepared for right now. But yeah,
defend everyone.
It's just like transparency. Like that's all the people really ask for at the end of the day. Yeah. And it's just the more transparency you have, the more you relate to your audience. Like we're in a content creation world. Like I think I was watching a video from Gary V. And it was just basically like he had hit the nail on the head. Like it is so substantially easy to build a brand off of a personal name nowadays that it's kind of insane. Like people haven't had this opportunity. So it's like, if you're a developer for a game and you're not building that camaraderie with your community, you're not being transparent with your community, then yeah, they're going to have it in the back of their head that, oh, hey, this is going to be another Ashes of Creation rug pull. Why the hell would I put money into a Kickstarter? Right.
Yeah.
It's building that trust nowadays. And I think the more that development companies get used to that, the better games we're going to get. And not necessarily the like one and done games, but the better like live service games. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Either way, it is something that we have to wait on. I mean, I'm basically waiting for Highguard to get a couple of patches to hop on it and see if y'all stick with it.
I mean, I'm good with it. Modeled and I jump on it every now and then. I mean, Ranked came out a week and a half ago or whatever, so that's a little different. So we've been grinding that a little bit. The point system is kind of weird to get used to. They also, within the last patch, actually did one big major update to where you used to be able to, basically your raid timer was you run out of lives or you run out of time and you can plant as many times as you want. And you can end a game in one raid, either by blowing up both of the generators or the one main generator that used to be a full, I believe, 2 minutes, if I remember correctly. Or no. No, it used to be a minute. Like it was like 20 seconds longer than the other two generators. So it's like if you go for the main one and try to end the game, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna have to sit there for longer. So they have more of a chance, whatever. So they upped that to, I believe, 120 seconds. So the main one is almost not even worth going for unless you're just like completely steamrolling. But what they also did in this patch is you can only blow up one generator per raid now. So whether or not you're completely kicking ass, you blow up A or B, you're being sent back to the preparation phase. So it's not like you can't really win in one go off of two plants anymore. It's like you either go for the main, end it now, or you go for one and then it restarts into another one. Yeah. So they've been making some changes, for better or worse. And again, like if you're looking for another FPS to play, like it's free. Give it a try. Why not? Literally no excuse not to. But yeah. I mean, not even Battlefield was enough to make me change my computer TPM settings, but for some reason this game was, and I was gonna say I'm not regretting it, but then again I've seen some crashes every now and then, so I'm like wait.
Maybe. I will say that I am waiting for the day that we go back to a what do you call it? Like the $30-$40 games era.
Oh, that's, we all know that's not happening. We're screwed now.
Yeah, because we're all, because everything's free to play. Everything needs some predatory monetization. I know, but.
Well, I mean, like, even regular games that aren't going to be free to play, it's like they're, you know, if it's, unless it's a, if it's a AAA game, you're probably spending at least 50 plus.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not expecting AAA to do anything different.
I think that's, I think it's the happy medium, especially with like the indie games and the single A titles, is like they're, the level of production of development nowadays is starting to become comparable. Like this is, you know, it's, it happens in every aspect of technology. Like there's always somebody who just like goes straight up to the top. Like we're talking, here's where, you know, AAA is going this fast. And then the bottom just needs to slowly, finally, you know, catch up. So, you know, we've been getting very, very, very fucking solid indie single A games recently, and they're still in within the $10-$30 range. Like, I mean, they're still massively affordable.
I just would really like to abolish the, the free to play model in its current state.
Yeah.
I
mean, I think a lot of what would do that too is, because everybody expects a free multiplayer game nowadays. Like if it's not a free multiplayer game, it's not going to be worth, you know, there's too many games out there. It's too saturated. Unless you have some obscure, insane marketing and you have a kick-ass demo and you've just got it out to thousands of people, like everybody expects a free-to-play game. 'Cause not a lot of them come out with single-player stuff anymore. So it's like, it's, I mean, even then, like even things like Call of Duty, you know, who, I haven't played a lot of the single players recently, but just using them as an example is like, if you're just going to only put out multiplayer and you're not going to really have like a backstory or a single player mode or, you know, build off of that multiplayer, and it was like, people are just going to expect it to be free or they're not going to touch it. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
and then
it just doesn't feel good to, when the free-to-play model is basically just asking you, hey, we're going to force you to actually, it may look free-to-play, but we're actually making you spend hundreds of dollars to feel like you actually can make choices.
Well, I think that's the, I don't want to say beauty of it, but it's like, it's more of, and this is again coming in like kind of like crossing the streams of like early access and all that shit, but it's like, if somebody comes out with a free multiplayer game, you know, there are those people that are going to be like, this game is really fucking good. I'm going to support it. I'm going to buy some things for the game. Like, that's how I'm going to support this game, because I didn't pay, you know, $40 to $60 for it. So there are those kind of people who will just buy stupid shit because they enjoy the game. So it's kind of like try now, pay later. In a sense, you know, until it does get kind of predatory, and then you're just like, ooh, you're FOMO. Just playing
gotcha at that point.
Yeah. FOMO, loot box. I want this skin. I want that skin. Oh, it's only going to be available for this season. I got to get it. Like, but there are those kind of people that'll just straight up, I will buy something from this game, from this store, because I enjoy it. And flame me all you want, but honestly, I think if Concord was free to play, like, it would have at least lasted a month and a half. At least. Minimum. Minimum.
Yeah, that's fair. At the very least, it would have had more investor confidence.
Yeah. I mean, they probably would have got more of their money back, too, if you really think about it. Especially with all the refunds. But it's like, again, it's just, unfortunately, it's the day we're in. Everybody expects a free multiplayer game, or it's just not worth it.
Yeah. But just to wrap up a little bit here, I was just wondering, because you put down a couple of games that I know you've been playing. I don't know this third one.
Are you muting me right now? You haven't heard of it? Out of those three games on that list, you have not heard of Mugenics yet?
No.
Oh my god.
Should I have?
I mean, it's a lot of people are talking about, like, it's pretty big on this Steam chart right now.
I have been offline, and when I get in, it's straight into training mode. It's been.
I mean, I don't think I've seen this much hype around a turn-based tactical game in a while, other than like Final Fantasy Tactics, maybe, was the last one. But yeah, it's. A lot of people are talking about it. It hits
right in that range I told you about, that $30 range. That's
crazy. Yeah, exactly. but that's the thing. It's like those, like these types of games can get away with it because it's a good game. They did their marketing. They put their trailer videos out. They made sure that it looked enjoyable enough to spend your money on. And lo and behold, it was. Like, I think it's sitting at very positive reviews still right now. Again,
it's also made by a beloved game developer, so.
Yeah. The Binding of Isaac guys. So they have that backing as well. So it's not like they came out of nowhere. Yeah, that helps. Like, build a game, build a reputation, and then you don't really, I wouldn't say don't have to worry, but it won't be as much on your back as if you don't have a reputation behind you. Yeah. So, you know, Binding of Isaac developers came out with this game. People looked at it. People loved it. Again, a turn-based tactical game. I thought it was going to be more like Slay the Spire, TBH, but... No, it's a top-down tactical. Well, more like isometric, I guess.
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy Tactics, the light or esque. Yeah,
and the humor is really good. So that's like, I'm usually like 60-40, 70-30 on turn-based games. But I was enjoying it, and then the humor kind of was just like, yeah, I could keep playing this.
I might pick it up if I start to lose my mind.
It's a good time.
It seems like an enjoyable just
I think I played it.
I'm watching the trailer and I just watched a we're at the end of the show. I just watched a cat shit out another cat. What the fuck is going on?
I think I streamed a whole 9.5 hours last night of it. It's good. I'm still learning some new mechanics. The synergy between the characters is good. apparently you can still get, you know, different cats and stuff too. Like, I'm only like, I feel like I'm only like 30 to 40% of the way to like an actual quote unquote unit that like is actually fully fleshed out, fully maxed out kind of stuff. I mean, you could kind of infer. It's basically just you got cats breeding cats, and then, you know, two cats fuck to make another cat that has more or less the same stats as the cats that fucked.
That is what I'm watching. I'm watching them hump a nuke. So,
and then
this is so surreal. As someone who has like. I understand. I'm just in awe that this somehow did not reach my.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised you didn't hear about it, honestly.
Has Northern Lightning played it?
Who?
I'm sure he has. Northern Lightning? You don't know?
No, I don't.
Northern Lightning? It's fine. I did just type in Northern Lightning into Google, and the first thing that showed up, other than his name, was Mugenix Meow. So I guess I really just haven't been on.
You've really been under a rock.
Okay.
No, it's a good game when you definitely when you get bored, put some hours into it. It's definitely worth it. It's like, yeah, I'm only like, I feel like 40% through that game, because there's like, not only the stats and the different spells you can get, but I guess there's like mutations. So it's like not only do they have spells and their abilities, but it's like your mutations also alter like how that cat works. Is interesting.
I am. Words cannot describe the emotions that I'm feeling.
Check it out. It's worth a shot. 100%.
I definitely will.
And if you don't like it in the first 2 hours, Steam refund.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Steam's pissed off at me. I refund a lot.
I mean, that's the other thing too. It's like I hate the games that are coming out that like have this insanely long fucking drawn out tutorial that is easily going to be over almost a 2 hour tutorial until you actually get into the meat and bones of the game. And then you're just well, I can't refund it anymore because it took me so long to actually figure out that this game was actual dog shit, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good. Definitely give it a shot.
Do we end on time? Do we ramble for 30 minutes? What's the vibe here? Because
we are like perfectly on time right now. I don't know.
We don't really like go on for another 20 minutes. I just we always stay for.
I mean, unless you have more topics, I just put the games down just in case we didn't have shit to talk about.
I really wanted to know what Mugenix was, and I'm glad I found out. I guess glad is a strong word for it, but
I'm gonna
found out.
I mean, I still like basically all three of those games. I've been behind and have to put YouTube content out for at least a goddamn Steam review or something like. Been trying to get that going, but
all right. I'm not gonna plug my shit because I haven't been doing anything. But you should check out J Dog when he streams on his solo stream. That's who I'm gonna. I'm literally. That's crazy. I literally just looked at my Twitch. People I follow, half of them are playing Mugenix right now. What is happening?
I told you, there's so many people playing the game right now. It's so good. I'm just mind blown that people are actually like getting into a turn-based strategy game like this. It's right, really I'm, good.
I'm going to bed.
But yeah, I mean, bro, I've been live every single day for a goddamn while.
Yeah, shout out to J-Dog. Go to twitch.tv/J-Dog. And
if you want to see some eugenics tonight, I got you, dog. But yeah, this has been, oh my God, episode 66. Jesus, criminy. Where do we go from here?
Episode 67, baby.
God. Anyways, thanks, guys. Hanging out. Love y'all. Episode 66. We will see you next time. Deuces.
What do Juice Wayne and Batman have in common? Join the Cracked Media Discord to find out. The answer may not be there, but there are a lot of other cool stuff. I promise.